I'm from a prairie town. Sometimes you drive from coast to coast. One call from LA, and we pack and fly away. But in our hearts, we're always prairie folks. Looking back at a prairie town, people ask me why I went away. You fly with the best, sometimes you have to leave the nest. But the prairies made me what I am today. Winter nights are long, summer days are gone. Party Jermaine, 50 below. Springtime melts the snow, rivers overflow. Party Jermaine, 50 below. Party Jermaine, 50 below. Party Jermaine, 50 below. You stay inside and rock and roll.
Carol says I played that last week. Well, you can't play it too long. Hello, goodbye, Bannatyne. It's like, I think we should play the Billy Mosianko song every week or two, and Bluebird of Happiness. Remember someone wanted us to play it every week? No. Maybe I should dig out the Terry Sawchuk song again. We haven't played that for a week. 2 minutes after seven.
We
I'm Ron Robinson.
The curling song this year. Well, I'm Carol.
I'll dig out the curling song. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Weather coming up from Carol later this half hour.
Yes.
Children's Corner as well. And Carol has the book. We bought two books. We went to Liberty. And we go, because, well, it's a department store. You say, no, it's a destination. It's a pilgrimage to go.
Yes.
The building itself, never mind the goods that are for sale there, and being old department store employees ourselves.
Yes.
Feel warm all over. Funny little elevator, which is right at the front door. You need to know where it is.
Carved wooden panels
but
inside.
They were selling books again.
Yes.
And paper supplies, a few pens. Interesting. But I picked up How to Be a Good Husband.
Yes.
And then I was sitting beside it, How to Be a Good Wife.
Right.
I think How to Be a Good Wife is more expensive. Well, there you go. It just goes to show
husband,
you.
Maybe. What? This is £4.99.
Oh, maybe it's harder to be and more expensive to be a good husband then. So I read an excerpt from this half hour.
Yes.
Carol's going to read an excerpt from How to Be a Good Wife. From 1936, I hasten to say.
And the Bodleian Library.
Before you start sending letters to the editor, et cetera.
Right. Okay.
What about the weather?
Well, I checked
15
a
below.
Ago. Yes.
No.
And it hadn't switched over to 7.
All right.
But
right.
It
Never
has
mind.
Now.
All right.
Okay. So the temperature's gone down to 4. But it's still partly cloudy, and barometric pressure 101.1 and falling. The humidity has gone up to 52%. Man, it's dry out there.
How
wind
dry,
coming from the south at 21. It will get cloudier as the morning goes on. 30% chance of showers late this morning and early this afternoon. Wind coming from the south at 20, and then northwest at 20 near noon. A high today of 15. Tonight, clearing late this evening. Wind coming from the north at 30, gusting to 50, and then light overnight, and the low 0.
What's the normal high for this time of the year? 15?
Normal high,
yep.
17. 17. And a minimum of 3.
Ever since the Liberals got back in, the weather's gone.
Yeah. I'll tell you, last week we looked ahead to this weekend, and Sunday was going to be 20. And then later on in the week it was 16. And then it was going to be 14. And today it's showing 20 again.
Oh,
yes,
back.
You were going to say you're getting
just,
ready
getting
to say
lower
something.
And lower and lower and lower and lower. But no.
20. That's what they're promising.
I'm drinking my coffee.
Yes.
But there's nothing wrong with a cup of tea. And it
That's
came
true.
To mind
yes.
that we should thank your sister again. Hello, thank your sister.
Yes.
Maybe she doesn't want her name used on the air. So we won't say it was Mary Ellen.
Okay, don't do that.
Who took us to high tea.
Oh, yes.
At the Victoria. Inn in Victoria.
It's fabulous.
At the hotel. The hotel, the Empress.
Yes, yes.
I put on my tie.
Yes.
My London tie.
I wore a dress, I
sat upright.
Yes.
And we gobble. I tried not to gobble, but we ate everything that was in front of us.
Yes.
We swept through like Genghis Khan sweeping across the steps.
They have a whole menu of teas there.
Yes, yes. Well, yes. Free press from Friday. Believe it or not, we thought they were dead, gone, collapsed, kaput,
yeah.
I think is the German word for it. The tea room at the Captain Kennedy House
reopened
after a 10-year absence. Well, $1.4 million restoration of the historic building on the Red River south of Lockport.
Excellent.
It's happening. Yes, tea.
Hello. Hello, hello. Yes? What? No, thanks very much. It's awfully good of you, but I'm much too busy today. Yes, yes, very, very busy. Yes, thank you. Oh, God. Hello, hello. Yes. No, no, that's awfully kind, yes, but another day I'm frightfully busy, yes. Thank
Mr.
you very
Buchanan,
much. What
I
is it?
I want you to listen to this song of mine.
A song?
Yes, a song.
Must you?
I really must.
Must you? Get it out of your system,
yes,
I suppose.
Yes, I'll play it for you.
Yeah, thanks awfully, yes. Yeah. Oh, dear, dear. Sounds like the one I heard yesterday.
It couldn't have been.
No?
No.
I think it's awfully good.
Mr. Buchanan.
Yes, what is it?
May I have your autograph?
Autograph?
Please?
I can't write, I'm sorry.
I've got a new book space.
Yeah, but I'm very busy.
I've come a long way, you know.
Yes. Equally long way to go back, too, isn't it? Yes. Goodbye. Hello, hello. Oh, no, I'm sorry, no.
Your tea, Mr. Buchanan.
Tea? Ah, oh, that's different. Bless your heart. Every nation in creation has its favorite drink. France is famous for its wine, its beer in Germany. Turkey has its coffee, and they serve it blacker than ink. Russians go for vodka, and England loves its tea. Oh, the factories may be roaring with the boom-a-lacka, zoom-a-lacka, wee. But there isn't any roar when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. Oh, a lawyer in a courtroom, in the middle of an alimony plea, has to stop and help him pour when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. It's a very good English custom, though the weather be cold or hot. When you need a little pickup, you'll find a little teacup will always hit the spot. You remember Cleopatra had a date to meet Mark Antony at 3. When he came an hour late, she said, you'll have to wait, for everything's stopped for tea. Oh, they may be playing football, and the crowd is yelling, kill the referee. But no matter what the score, when the clock strikes four, everything stops for tea. Oh, the golfer may be golfing and is just about to make a hole in three. But it always gets in sore when the clock yells four. Everything stops for tea. It's a very good English custom and a stimulant for the brain. When you feel a little weary, a cup will make you cheery and it's cheaper than champagne. Now I know just why Franz Schubert didn't finish his unfinished symphony. He might have written more, but the clock struck four, and everything stopped for tea.
Jack Buchanan from a 3-CD set. I was going to say that we picked up, I guess, our trip to London, yes. One of my favorite spots called FOP. You're right, it's two P's.
Yes.
F-O-P-P.
Yeah.
Right at Cambridge Circus, just off Cambridge Circus there. 3-CD set, great songs from the war years. Absolutely essential 3-CD collection. What else? It had something else on this I was going to play. Oh, well, next week we'll probably play...
Yes.
A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square.
Oh,
we're nice. Singing that too, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, we don't actually sing it. We give it a damn good thrashing.
No,
you'll recognize it.
Yes,
709, Jack Buchanan. So we were talking about the reopening of the Heritage Tea Room, built for Captain William Kennedy, an Arctic explorer, Métis community leader, Hudson's Bay Company employee in 1866. closed because of structural problems in 2015. Yes. Conk on the Coconut. So guests will see one new addition as the living room has been converted into a coffee bar where people can get beverages to go as well as a scone or a cinnamon bun.
I bet it's booked up for Mother's Day already.
Tea room is already fully booked through Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Mother's Day. We'll be open Wednesday to Sunday with breakfast and lunch as well as brunch on weekends and high tea. There you go. At 10 minutes after 7.
You know...
Children's Corner coming up.
Okay.
Yep.
He said France has wine.
Yes.
We should play a song.
But that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Yes. Because I'm looking at an obituary for David Allen Coe. Country singer, songwriter, wrote the working class anthem, Take This Job and Shove It. Hits with You Never Even Called Me By My Name and The Ride. Died at the age of 86. Labeled outlaw, underground, clearly an outsider in Nashville's music establishment. Great success, mind you. An in-demand songwriter and singer. I mean, some of his lyrics, of course, raw, often obscene. We'll have to see what we've got here. Did concert tours with Willie Nelson, Kid Rock, Neil Young, and others. And, well, he's singing here a Willie Nelson song, actually. Yes.
Oh, all right. That sounds good.
Yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine. Aging with time. Like yesterday's wine. Miracles appear in the strangest of places. Fancy meeting you here. Last time I seen you was just out of Houston. Sit down, let me buy you a beer. Your yesterday's mine. Yesterday's mine. You're aging with time. Like yesterday's wine. Your presence is welcome with me and my friends here. This is a hangout of mine. Come here quite often to listen to music, partaking of yesterday's wine. We're yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, aging with time, like yesterday's wine. Hey, Willie. Appearance of one wide to travel, and I bet you've seen things in your time. Sit down beside me and tell me your story. If you think you'll like yesterday's wine, or yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine. Aging with time. Like yesterday's wine.
Yesterday's David Allen Coe, the late David Allen Coe. Bit of vanished vinyl for you there, an LP called All American Cowboys. Had Willie Nelson, David Allen Coe, Merle Haggard, Mo Bandy. He worked into some of his songs Payback. Paycheck. He wasn't happy with Johnny Paycheck getting all the credit for the song that he wrote. You can take this job and shove it. He also appeared in a handful of movies. Stagecoach, Take This Job and Shove It, named after his song. Born in Ohio, spent time in reformatory as a youngster. Served time in an Ohio prison from 1963 to 67 for possession of burglary tools. Last record released in 2006, collaboration with Dimebag Darrell, another former members of the heavy metal group Pantera. It is 7:15.
Yes.
Ooh, you know what that means. We're hitting it right on the nose. Am I right? You're not wrong there, Ron.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
Boys, got a little treat for you. We can't play it all because it's too long. But the idea is to get you to go to the symphony and pick up an instrument yourself and take it in and say, I'd like to be Peter. I'd like to be the wolf. I'd like to be the duck myself,
yes.
I think. Well, give a listen to this.
Peter and the Wolf, a musical tale for children. Each character in this musical tale is represented by a different instrument in the orchestra. The bird by a flute. The duck by an oboe. The cat by the clarinet. The grandfather by a bassoon. The wolf is represented by three horns. Hunters by the trumpet. The hunters' guns by the timpani. Peter is represented by the strings. And now for our story. Early one morning, Peter opened the gate and went out into the big green meadow. Mm-hmm. On the branch of a large tree sat a little bird, Peter's friend. Everything is quiet, chirped the bird gaily.
Peter and the Wolf, narrated by Colm Feore, and the Windsor Symphony Orchestra. So
that may have been my brother Scott's first record that he had when he was a kid.
Well, they still do Peter and the Wolf over and over and over.
Yes.
I did it once myself.
It's such a dramatic story.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Bounce crowd. 722.
Yep.
722.
You are listening to our Aunt Carol and Uncle Ron on CKUW 95.9.
Right, you are. Thank you, Abigail. At 7:22, did I say yes?
Yes.
So, Carol McKibben, we had promised.
Yes.
The book, How to Be a Good Wife.
Right.
And we want to remind people, before they start writing in and shaking their fists or reaching for the phone, where's this from? 1936, I think. Something like it.
I'm looking at 1936, yes.
So this is how, maybe some of it's still applicable, Carol. We don't know until we hear from you.
What?
I'm listening very closely. All right, away you go.
How to be a good wife. First, there's an introduction.
Yes.
To wives. Even the best of us will find that, in times, married life is a trial.
What?
I'll say. However much we endeavor to do the right thing, perplexities have an unfortunate way of looming up and clouding the horizon.
Right you are.
Okay.
Page one.
Page one. From one wife to another. There is not the slightest doubt about it. Women can make or mar the marriage partnership more than men can, excuse me. Therefore, if you find you are both drifting on the rocks, don't throw all the blame on your husband. Ask yourself fairly and squarely if you have done your best. Remember that the happiness of the home depends in a great measure on you and your exertions. If the home is not a cheery place, don't expect your husband to spend more time in it than he can help. He will be kept late at the office and have pressing calls from mysterious friends, and then you will grumble that he is always out. Don't be one of those wives who demand their husbands to do this or that for them. No man worthy of the name will be bossed.
Yeah.
On the other hand, don't be a tame kitten or a doormat, for husbands look down on spineless women. Steer a middle course, and your husband will appreciate your wisdom. Woman is more of an enigma than man. Therefore, if your husband has not understood your wishes, don't straightway rate him as a dull or heartless. It is quite likely that he cannot fathom you, and for that you are more to blame than he is.
To be a good wife from 1936, I took several notes there, Carol. For myself?
Well, I've been taking notes on that husband one, so watch out.
For myself? Yes. I like my enigmas wrapped in bacon. That's the best kind of enigma. At 7:25.
All right.
Now, one other thing for the children.
Yes.
And that's from the Free Press from last Saturday, so I didn't see it till we got home. And it's full page here. They do this from time to time. It's the up-close page, and it's a closer look.
Right.
In this case, it's Alison Gilmore, and she has chosen one of my favorite books, I Want My Hat Back. Yes. John Klassen, 2011 picture book.
Yes.
John Klassen, Winnipeg-born, Ontario-raised writer. He just won the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award, Swedish prize for contributions to children's and young adult literature. That's worth about $750,000. That comes on top of an American Caldecott Medal,
yes,
British Kate Greenaway Medal, and a Governor General's Award here
now.
In Canada.
Yeah.
So his books are global bestsellers, now translated into 27 languages.
Okay, doodle.
So this one, I Want My Hat Back. First entry in Klassen's trilogy of Chapeau-related stories. Upends many conventional expectations about contemporary children's books. A minimalist, the looks of the drawings. So, offbeat, understated little tale, an unnamed bear has lost his much-loved hat. I know the feeling. And sets out to find it. He makes polite inquiries of the creatures he comes across until his problem is resolved in a dark, funny, and very sudden turn. So, as Alison says, with his sparse words and economical images, Klassen crafts the kind of simplicity that asks for close attention and allows for complicated responses. Rather than spoon-feeding moral messages to readers, you know, I'm not eating that, Klassen gives kids lots of room to explore, interpret, question, and learn. So this might look like a big goofy bear pining for his hat, but his predicament resonates way, 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 way beyond the pages of this brief book.
Interesting.
That's
okay.
I Want My Hat Back. Winnipeg Public Library. There are 22 copies available.
Some are
online.
One.
You can also get it en français.
Oh, good.
Aussi, yes. It's a Libby ebook, and you can get it streaming, Hoopla, audiobook. Highly recommended, then. I Want My Hat Back.
Yes.
I'll repeat that. I Want My Hat Back. There you go. 7:28. Time then for sort of a march around the breakfast table. I'm looking at the obituary for John Jack Edward William Richardson, died January 15, 2025, forever in our hearts. Early life spent between Clandeboy, Manitoba, and Diamond, Ontario. He was a veteran, honored for his service to our country, joined the Canadian military in 1950, stationed in Calgary with the Loras Trascona Horse, that's the Royal Canadian 2nd Armoury Regiment, served in the Korean War from 51 to 53 in the roles of Sherman tank driver, gunner, mechanic, and educator. He shared many stories about the ship trip to Korea and the air flight home from Japan and the troop train to and from Calgary. Well, the regimental march of the Strats is Soldier to the Queen, which we now call Soldier to the King. But I've got from the CD Happy and Glorious a rousing vocal rendition.
Oh, great.
Which is actually a medley. So listen up. album, the CD, Happy and Glorious, which was the official album of H.M. the McQueen Mother's 100th birthday celebration at Horse Guards at 7:32. Carol McKibben, any more jumbles there available?
Well, I've got a six-letter one, if you like.
Okie dokie.
H-R-C-Y-R-E.
Oh, that's one of those letters again. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
I could see that you were paying attention to something else, and I thought you could do four or five things.
Is that you? I was doing something else while I was doing four or five things.
H-R-C-Y-R-E. I can see that eyebrow lowering. Yes.
Is there a C in there?
There was
a
C.
What a cheery thing to say.
If there were two E's.
It would be cheery.
Instead of
R's. Could be cherry.
There you go.
I saved Neil Diamond as I said that. At 7:33. Got to roll along when I look at the stack of things next to us.
I think I can.
Born on this day, 1929, Fred Lincoln, a.k.a. Link Ray, Native American rock guitarist. Now, you have to, this goes way back. These two CDs, Rock and Instrumentals, and you realize what a difference Mr. Out in the Garage working on his little amplifier did for electric guitar. Les Paul.
Les. Mm-hmm.
So some of these seem primitive by today's standards, but let me put it this way. It was a hit at the time.
Okay.
But the first CD player...
Sounds a little...
Well, it's...
Like it is out of a garage.
I think it's the CD... Yes, that's right. I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Yes.
Because I'm worried this has happened several times. I think we'll switch CD players.
Okay.
So see you could hum a little, hum a little song while I'm... telling the machine that we want. That's good. That's good. Something that we're going to be singing next Saturday might be good for them. Yes. Link Ray, then. The cut is called Rumble.
Are you ready? Just about.
CD set Rockin' Instrumentals, Link Wray and His Raymen. What else we got on this? Well, The Ventures, of course, Walk, Don't Run. Sandy Nelson, Teen Beat, that was a biggie. Sleepwalk, Santa and Jelly. Huh? More of The Ventures. Dwayne Eddy, Rebel Rouser, of course, yes. Anyways, in terms of Link Wray, as I mentioned, born on this day in 1929, died in 2005, American guitarist, songwriter, vocalist, became popular in the late 1950s. 1958 instrumental single, Rumble, reached the top 20 in the United States, one of the earliest songs in rock music to use distortion and tremolo. And everybody picked up on it, of course. Rolling Stone ranked Wray at number 45 in its list of 100 greatest guitarists of all time, two nominations for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame prior to being inducted in 2023. Married three times. Well, musicians, you know, what do you call a drummer with no girlfriend?
Homeless.
That's it, exactly. Died of heart failure at the age of 76. His ashes buried in the crypt of the Christians Church in Copenhagen. Well, 7:38. Carol, what have you got for the folks today?
Well, I think we mentioned that we went to Chichester and we stayed outside the grounds of the gardens of the Chichester Cathedral, which was just down the street. And there was a statue of Richard of Chichester outside the cathedral. And there was something on the plaque there that interested me. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Richard of Chichester. He's a saint who was the bishop of Chichester. And in Chichester Cathedral, there's a shrine. By shrine, I mean bone fragments, became a center of pilgrimage. In 1538, Henry VIII had the shrine plundered and destroyed by order of Thomas Cromwell.
Bully.
Richard of Chichester is the patron saint of Sussex, and his saint's day is celebrated there as Sussex Day. So, Saint Richard was born in Worcestershire. On the death of his parents, his elder brother was not old enough to inherit, but on coming of age, his brother took possession of his lands and was required to pay a medieval form of death duty that left the family so impoverished that Richard had to work for him on the farm. His brother made Richard heir to the estate, consequently. Richard rejected any proposed romantic matches, and he also reconveyed the estates back to his brother, preferring a life of study and the church. He was educated at the University of Oxford and soon taught there, and then went on to Paris and then Bologna, where he distinguished himself in canon law. On returning to England in 1235, Richard was elected Oxford's Chancellor. His former tutor had become Archbishop of Canterbury. Richard shared his ideals of clerical reform and supported papal rights. In 1237, the Archbishop appointed Richard Chancellor of Canterbury. Richard was with him when the Archbishop died around 1240. He then decided to become a priest and studied theology for 2 years with the Dominicans at Orleans. On returning to England, he became a parish priest, but soon was reappointed Chancellor of Canterbury. In 1244, he was elected Bishop of Chichester, but Henry III refused to accept him. So they appealed to Pope Innocent IV, who confirmed Richard's election and consecrated him bishop at Lyon. Richard then returned to Chichester, but the king again forbade anyone to house or feed him. At first, Richard lived in the house of his friend Simon and visited his entire diocese on foot, and in his spare time, cultivated figs, as you do. Yes. You're going to say something?
Well, people say, I don't give a fig, but they don't mean it.
Right, yes, true.
Especially the fig sauce that they put on the vegan Manitobanian pizza at Hildegard.
That's right. It's very good. Richard's private life displayed rigid frugality and temperance. He was an ascetic who wore a hair shirt and refused to eat off silver. He kept his diet simple and rigorously excluded animal flesh, having been a vegetarian since his days at Oxford. Richard instituted offerings for the cathedral at Chichester, which were known later as St. Richard's Pence. He was merciless to corrupt clergy and priests who mumbled the Mass.
Out!
Yep.
Clear orf!
Yes. He favored the Dominicans, who sheltered him during his stay in France, and he died, aged 56, at Dover in 1253, where the Pope had ordered him to preach a crusade. We don't do this anymore, but back in the 1200s, his internal organs were removed and placed in that chapel's altar, and his body was then carried to Chichester and buried according to his wishes in the chapel on the north side of the nave dedicated to his patron, St. Edmund. His remains were translated to a new shrine in 1276. Yes?
Well, the pigeons like his statue, I thought.
Yeah, they did seem to appreciate it quite a bit. So, his prayer that he is most widely remembered for: "Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pains and insults thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly."
To see the
most of you will have recognized from the musical Godspell. And the singer, I was going to say Robin?
Robin Lamont?
Yes, because you knew some of the others. We couldn't quite figure this out. Well, this was the off-Broadway
We
LP.
Think it was from the characters who were in it. We think it was the off-Broadway.
Because some of them made it to Broadway as well.
Yeah, some of them did, and some of them made it to the movie.
A musical based upon the gospel according to St. Matthew.
Right. So I think
music and new lyrics by Stephen Schwartz, conceived and directed by John Michael Teblak.
Yeah.
You said this. There was a Canadian version of this.
Yes, it was. It played in Toronto.
Way back when. And you recognized.
Well,
the names,
Victor Garber was in it. Andrea Martin, Gilda Radner, Eugene Levy, Jane Eastwood, like Martin Short. Like it was full of people we all know. And love.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Now, it is 7:48, therefore, we're going to play our last, I repeat, well, I found something more, actually.
What?
Yeah, I know. This is from the CD. It's the last thing on the CD.
Okay.
That's the Danny Boy album.
Oh, right.
Now, see if you can recognize this voice. All right. Of course, first of all, we might want to be able to find which CD player it's in now that I've been banging away. Oh, here we are.
Okay.
Sweeter be. I shall sleep in peace until you come to me.
Kate Smith, Last Cut. Our CD, the Danny Boy album, but as I say,
wow.
I came across something the other day. I found another version. But I caught the Free Press book pages today, then the obits, and I see there's an obit in today's Free Press for Christopher Grannis Defoe, born in 1936, died April the 3rd, 2026. Love of laughter, words, and music. Predeceased by his loving wife, Nancy. They met in London, 1959, on February 29th of the following year. Nancy proposed to Christopher. Writer, editor, journalist, novelist, columnist, lyricist, playwright, broadcaster, historian. Began his professional life as a theater actor, his native Winnipeg. Joined the family business of journalism, of course. His name was Defoe. Winnipeg Free Press. Copy boy. Moved on the night desk. His brief stint covering daily news ended abruptly. Day wandered up and knocked on the door of an active hostage situation. Gunshots ensued, and after being dragged to safety by a member of the Winnipeg Police Service, immediately reassigned to a role somewhat less likely to result in gross bodily harm. Drama critic. Other roles? Well, he was a features and editorial page writer, legislative reporter, columnist, the late 1960s. They went to Vancouver. He served there as a columnist, feature, writer, critic. Back to Winnipeg. Weekly column, weekend columns, the Winnipeg Free Press. He was my role model. Wrote about everything from his cats to politics and his signature blend of cheeky wit, reverence, and joy. Number of his books, I think, still in the Winnipeg Public Library system, of course. Did a book on Winnipeg. Boyhood dream came true. He was hired to helm the Canadian history magazine, The Beaver, as we knew it. I'll repeat that, The Beaver. No longer, of course, now known as,
Canada's History Magazine.
Yes. Wrote books in his retirement, enjoyed walks with Nancy around their Vancouver West End home. So this summer, our immediate and extended family will gather at the cottage at Ponema, done since 1911, say goodbye to our lovely, funny, irreplaceable father, grandfather, uncle, and friend. Aww. That's Christopher Grannis Defoe in today's Winnipeg Free Press. And we happen to have a poem that he wrote from the Penguin Treasury of Popular Canadian Poems. Good. I'll share it with you now. Appropriately enough, called 40 Below.
Right.
From this valley we hope to be going, when at last we can travel alone. For we're sick of the snow and the dust storms. In Toronto we'll find a new home. For it's 40 below in the winter, and it's 20 below in the fall. Just rises to zero in summer, and we don't have a springtime at all. Mm. Oh, my grandpa came west in the 80s, to the prairies where grain grew like grass. But the wheat board and freight rates got Grandpa, and Grandpa went east, second class. For it's 40 below in the winter, and it's 20 below in the fall, just rises to zero in summer, and we don't have a springtime at all. It was raining and snowing this morning at the corner of Portage and Main. Now it's noon and the dust storm is blowing, and my basement is flooded again. For it's 40 below in the winter. It's 20 below in the fall, and it just rises to zero in summer, and we don't have a springtime at all. Then come pay for my fare if you love me, and I'll hasten to bid you adieu. So goodbye to the Red River Valley and the farmers all shivering in blue. For it's 40 below in the winter, and it's 20 below in the fall, and it just rises to zero in summer, and we don't have a springtime at all. Christopher from the Penguin Treasury of Canadian Poems at 7:56. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We'll be back next Saturday. Hope you will join us then. Stay tuned now for...
Oh, there's a new
show. That's right, and I took a picture of it.
Yes.
To share with you so I could get this straight. Here we are. It's called...
Yes.
Well, on Thursday, just before me, is now called Shrimp Farm Crypto.
Right.
But as well, the Stew File coming up next, T-U-P-H, an eclectic show featuring interviews from all walks of life, some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear.
Okay.
So I have heard some of this. Broadcast every Saturday then here on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial, 8 till 9 a.m.
All right.
Last look at the weather, Carolyn Kipper. What was the high today? That's all just...
The high...
Do I hear 14?
Will be 15.
It's going to be 15 now. 15. There you are.
Yes.
Well, we'll leave you with the last of the Ronettes.
Okay.
Has just died, Deborah Tally Ross. What a story. Maybe more next week if we can find another Ronette song to play for you. But we want to play more of The Great Wall of Sound.
Right.
That Mr. Spector put up and then became Everyone Wanted to Do It. Back next Saturday, then.
See you then.